Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
And welcome to Overnight America. Oh boy. It's always a better night when the Cardinals get a win. And it's going to be one of those nights because it's a Thursday night too. That helps a lot. And even better, it's like a triple play. Chris Raby in studio too.
Yeah, 3 for 3.
I know. I'm feeling pretty good tonight. So Chris, welcome in. It's been a while since we've had you on the show.
It's been... It's been a while. Yeah, man, I feel like between all the Blues stuff to taking a little time off to now, you know, we shift to Cardinals and I spend half my time just at the ballpark. Haven't seen you in a while, but yeah. This is fun when they start playing some good baseball, and they're starting to play some good baseball. They're starting to play, I think, the way that people envisioned this team could be capable of playing at the beginning of the year or last offseason. Yeah.
Where did Tommy Edmonds come from? He's just been playing great.
Tommy Edmonds is one of the Cardinals' top prospects. He was a fourth-round pick out of Stanford a couple of years ago, has climbed quickly through the organization. I'm biased because he was on my Cardinal caravan last year. Awesome guy. Can play every infield position. Switch hitter. Has power. Stole 30 bases last year. Mm. And this is like what the Cardinals do. Like, fans might not know all of these names, but every year they bring these guys up and they succeed at the big league level. I honestly think it's akin to what like the Patriots do in football, or the San Antonio Spurs do, or the Detroit Red Wings did.
Yeah.
You know? When you were growing up rooting for the Red Wings. But Edmund, you know, he's been a top prospect because he was a fourth-round pick and is a really, really good player. And with a couple of injuries that they've had, most recently the injury to Matt Carpenter that has sidelined him, it's given Edmund an opportunity to play, and he's made the most of it. Yeah. But when you have a guy that can play every position and switch hit and run and hit with power, he can play the outfield as well. That's like a weapon to have. The Cardinals have two of those guys in Munoz and Edmund.
Yeah, help me understand the way Major League Baseball works with the draft. Do you normally find players that talented in the fourth round, or did the Cardinals just get really lucky when it came to finding him?
Oh, yeah. And it's kind of funny the way it works because it's unlike any other professional draft. And the reason I say that is because players can enter the draft out of high school, if you get selected, you can negotiate with the team, and there are slots where, you know, each pick is essentially slotted an amount of money, and sometimes for big-time high school players, you have to go over slot, otherwise they will matriculate to whatever university they've committed to. If you go to college, you have to stay for 3 years. There are 31 rounds. So you don't always, like the NBA or the NFL, see, you know, the 50 best players taken 1 through 50. There are some different circumstances involved in terms of this guy might be dead set on going to North Carolina. We know that we can't sign him, so he might fall till the bottom of the first round, or his agent might be difficult. But, you know, Edmund, as a college player, when you're talking about 31 rounds and about 1,000 players with the compensatory picks being selected, he was, you know, in the top 150 or top 200 players selected. So that's a pretty good player. And it's all about scouting in baseball because there are thousands and thousands of players that you have scouts all over the country. And, you know, you scout high school guys and you scout college guys and you scout international free agents. And yeah, they found a good one in Tommy Edmund and a guy who, again, can literally play every position. And it just seems like the Cardinals have had a real track record of doing that and doing it at the back end of every round. They're never picking at the top of the round. And then getting these guys up to the big league level and having them contribute while they're in playoff races.
Yeah. I was looking, too, and you were mentioning the Blues. You see, the NHL came out with their Super 16.
Here we go.
The NHL.
I was going to say, I didn't think we were going to talk like hardcore baseball.
NHL's offseason power rankings put the St. Louis Blues at number 2.
Ooh.
That's a That's a high ranking for the Blues, right behind the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Tampa number one, yeah.
Yeah, and then it goes Bruins, Predators, Maple Leafs, Capitals.
You know what?
Stars.
And that's great, man, because the Blues were not only the Stanley Cup champions, but since January, they were far and away the best team in the league.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
I was thinking today, because I don't know if other people do this, and I'm sure this happened in 2011 when the Cardinals had a run like that. You know, they were so far on the outside of the playoffs and then made an incredible run in August and September to get in and win the World Series. I find myself like at least once a day, Cole Duggar might do this too, just like thinking of a moment being like, God, that was awesome. Like the Blues won the cup. And
you have to be reminded that it's just out of nowhere.
Just like remembering a moment or something. But more than anything, we're like now into, you know, free agency and seeing where the dust will settle. And I think they're going to be set up to be just as good, if not better, next year. Mm-hmm. And, man, it was just so cool.
It was so cool. The whole ride.
Yeah, man. Like a month ago, a couple of days ago, what was it? Saturday.
Yeah, we're about a month removed.
Saturday, June 15th was the parade.
Yeah, that's so amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, and the 12th, I believe, or the 11th, was Game 7 in Boston.
Yeah.
So just unreal. And just an amazing, amazing experience. And, you know,
I can't say we've seen each other since then. It might have been that
seriously,
long ago.
Seriously.
The whole parade and everything
else. I don't
think
we sat down since
it.
Then, but like, I went back to Chicago and everyone's like, oh my gosh, what was that like? It looked like the craziest parade ever, the craziest celebration ever. And I just hope it continues with some positive momentum for the city. You know, I saw that Carolyn Kendall Betts and Andy Taylor and Jim Cavanaugh were in New York earlier this week making their presentation to Major League Soccer. And, you know, if you can just continue with some positive momentum, like what a great last year it's been for St. Louis with the PGA Championship here last year the Blues getting awarded the All-Star Game, to Enterprise Center getting awarded some Olympic events and some other events, you know, the Cardinals getting Paul Goldschmidt. Just it's been awesome.
It has been. If you're a sports fan in St. Louis, it has been a good time.
It's been.
Do you ever hear that Cardinals song I've been playing from 78, their theme song from that year?
They've had some great theme songs. Why have we done away with theme songs for teams?
Here, listen to me. Tell me if this one's not just perfect. Okay, well, I'll give you the option. Do you want to hear just the song, or do you want to hear Jack Buck lead up to the song?
Is it One Week by Bare Naked Lady?
Do you want to hear Jack Buck lead up to the song, or just the song?
Can I hear both?
Yeah, let's do that. Here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, Cardinal theme song. We can do it.
Well, we're ready for the Cardinal theme song, which you've heard during this first week of baseball here at Busch Stadium.
We can do it.
Fans are in the hand-clapping mode today.
I need to, like, say it to myself every day when I wake up. Chris,
we can do it.
I know. I like it already. You like this?
And make your spirits bright.
All right, here's the hook.
Come on, Cardinals, this is our year. Hey, St. Louis, stand up and cheer. There's nothing to it, we can do it. Hey, St. Louis, we can do it.
All right, what do you think?
I think that's incredible.
They did terrible that year. One of the worst teams in the league that year.
They had some rough years.
Yeah.
I think people forget that. And that's another thing with the Blues. Like, I think one of the craziest things, and for people who maybe outside St. Louis don't follow the Blues super, super closely, like, we are super frustrated right now that the Cardinals have gone 3 years without making the playoffs, right?
Oh, yeah.
And they've had this incredible run. I know there were some rough years before that. But to think about the Blues, who have been in existence now for 53 years and have made the playoffs all but, like, a handful of those years. That's insane.
That is insane. Considering
how we can do it.
Considering how tough of the division they were in for all those years to make the playoffs all those years too. It's really
remarkable. Man. I think we need like a Nelly remix of that. Like, you play the beginning, the we can do it, and it's like boom.
Somebody's
got a remix. We can do it.
Uh huh.
It's got to be the Cardinals Gloria.
Oh yeah, Cardinals version. That's like they need the equivalent of
what
that.
What did they
right
have
now.
In the 80s? The Heat Is On was their song.
Was it?
Was that 80?
The Heat Is On.
82?
The Cardinals use that? Huh. He's going to have to look it up. I didn't
they
know.
They used that, yeah.
Why not?
Which you can't, or sorry, 85.
Mm-hmm.
You can't reuse Gloria. Like that needs to, because.
I think a lot of people.
Like, how could
that.
You ever top that? You know? Like, if that becomes the song again and you do anything but win the cup, it would be kind of a disappointment. That needs to, like, go away.
Yeah, I'll say.
And be the 2019 song, the Stanley Cup song. And then you come up with something else. But.
Well, Mike Anderson.
I think we need a song for the Cardinals.
Yeah, Mike Anderson put it best. He said, the team shouldn't use it, but if fans use it in the parking garage or something, 100%. That's fine. Totally
but
cool.
I kind of selfishly hope, like, they don't play it after every game.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I was talking to someone about Pat Maroon, the St. Louisan, who came home, signed the one-year deal to come to St. Louis last year, be with his family, signed one of the biggest, or scored one of the biggest goals in franchise history, game 7 against the Stars.
Yes.
I'm like, if you're Pat Maroon, and this is just me, I don't have any insight on his free agency process, but if you're Pat Maroon, what could you possibly do to top that? Knowing that you'll get more money and more years somewhere else. And you could go somewhere else, sign a big contract, be set up your family's family for the rest of your generations.
Yeah.
But like, I don't think you can top that. If you're the Blues, you can't top what Gloria was last year. Monday, the Bud Light bottles with Gloria come out.
Oh, yeah.
You can't top that.
Everywhere.
So you can't use it again.
Yeah. So now the Cardinals need that motivation. They need something there.
So what would you go with? Aside from It's Been by the Bare Naked Ladies.
I don't even know what would be the right thing. It's if you force
it's gotta
it.
Got to be organic.
Yeah,
thank
it doesn't
you.
Work. You can't force
Which
it.
Which that's, you know, the Gloria story. And unfortunately, it took them watching the Eagles beat my Bears at a bar in Philadelphia when they picked Gloria.
What'd you think of that lawsuit from that bar in Philadelphia?
I thought it wasn't a lawsuit. I thought that was the whole thing.
Oh, the cease and desist.
I thought we got in trouble for that.
Yeah, we got in trouble for that. But cease and desist. What do you think of the cease and desist?
I don't have a mouse in my pocket. So, yeah. I don't think anything of it.
No?
I haven't thought 1 minute about it.
Oh, okay.
Is it an ongoing story?
Not really. It just something that happened over last week.
Yeah.
I was curious if you had a face on that or anything.
I mean, I get why they're trying to make money off of it.
Such a Philadelphia thing for them to do it, though.
Hey, those guys are cool, though. They're here for the parade.
Well, yeah. They were welcomed as a guest, and then they start all of this. I don't like it. I'm just curious. It's a whole different deal.
Now
I don't
want to
start
of,
it with you.
Now I want to think of a song for the Cardinals.
I think the Cardinals need that experience. They need to...
We need the We Can Do It remix.
Yeah, they
need... We can still
like
do it.
Light bulb on top of their head to just go off, and all of a sudden they realize at the same time, this is it.
You want to use Old Town Road?
Oh, maybe. That is used all over the place. You know, I heard that song for the first time in the bathroom here.
Really?
It took, it's been out for months. Everyone's been talking
catchy.
About it. It took a trip to the bathroom to hear it. And it's very catchy. I don't know what the appeal is, but it's super catchy. Like what? Musically speaking, there's nothing special about that. If you were to take away and put any other artist doing it, no one would ever listen to that song.
Here are the three ingredients to a song of the summer, because that is the song of the summer. And I've done a pretty good job over the last few years of ordaining the song of the summer.
Got a hit meter. Yeah.
Yeah, last year it was The Middle by Maren Morris. You know that song?
How does that one go?
Why can't you just meet me in the middle?
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
And before that, it was the Bieber, DJ Khaled. I'm the one, yeah. I'm the one, yeah. You do, na, 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 na.
See, I don't know that one.
I'm the one, yeah. Anyway.
I don't know that
okay.
one. Cole just said Despacito.
Ooh, Despacito. That's
could
a good
be another one,
too.
There, too. Yeah.
It's got to be simple enough that people know the words.
Mm-hmm.
I want to take me down to the old town road. It's got to be catchy.
Very repetitive, yeah.
And it's got to be short.
Oh, how long's that song?
It's like 2 minutes and 40 seconds.
Oh, right to the point, yeah.
Yeah.
That's like the old school way of doing music. These radio stations would only play songs
it's like
that
the
were
Beatles.
That short.
Verse, pre-chorus, chorus, verse, chorus, out.
Yeah, just like that.
That's it.
That's all
every
you need.
Song on like Love Me Do is like 2 minutes and 18 seconds.
And all those songs.
Every Beatles song on like their first three albums is like no longer than 140 seconds.
Yeah, and if those record companies weren't paying off all the DJs to begin with, they knew how to manipulate, and they knew that they had to get those short songs in there because they had to play more to keep the attention. Yeah,
the longest part is riding up to hitting the post.
I know.
But you can do that.
That is fun.
Hit the post on Old Town Road as you take me to break.
Did you ever actually work in a music radio?
In high school, I played music on my radio show at WNTH at New Trier High School.
You had a high school radio station?
Hell yeah, man.
Oh, that's
I was
awesome.
The program director.
Really?
What and was the station format? Manager. It was anything. Students had to audition. So we were on the air from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Saturday. And students had to audition for their shows.
Oh, really?
During the school day, it was like first period, second period, you know, first through ninth periods.
Do you still have your audition tape?
I do. And
how's
it's funny.
It sound?
I listened to my freshman year audition tape with one of my best friends when I was home a couple of weeks ago.
Mm.
It's horrible.
Oh, I bet.
I mean,
all are.
Like, what did you expect?
I know, exactly. What
we
do
had
you
no hot take. Well, we had hot takes.
What were they? What was the hot topic?
I don't know, man.
You don't want to say
this. Is funny. My mom sent me this.
Uh-huh.
Do we have time for a second?
Yeah.
My mom sent me this. She was going through some boxes of old school stuff that we had, and this is from second grade. I was in second grade.
Mm-hmm.
It was January of 1994. This is a journal entry, my second grade journal.
Yeah.
January 11th, 1994. Today I'm going to my cousin's house. We have gym and music class. Michael Jordan might go and play baseball with the Chicago White Sox. The part I don't get is that if Michael really wants to stop playing basketball to spend more time with his family, then why is he going to play baseball? He's going to have to stay away from home.
That earned you a Marconi, didn't it?
And my teacher then wrote, very good point, Chris. I guess baseball is a new challenge for him. So I've been spitting hot takes since 1994.
Oh, Chris Raby, you want to talk up the ramp to Old Town Road?
Yeah, let's do it, right?
As we go out here?
All right.
All right.
Hang on, what do you have coming up so I can tease it?
Well, how about, I want to talk about the pounds in town, the animal control issues.
Okay, here we go.
All right.
Ready? Pounds are in town and our animals running wild. That's next on Overnight America. Cardinals over the Reds 7-4. Don't go anywhere. Ryan Recker coming up next on KMOX.
Yeah, I'm going to take my horse to the Old Town Road.
Now it's Overnight America with Ryan Recker on St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
Welcome back to Overnight America. Yeah, for a few minutes here. Next hour, we got a lot to get to, and it is the last show of the week, which means a few different things. One, it means we keep things a little more flexible. It's about the only time I have any flexibility in my life. It feels like everything in my life is scheduled anymore. And I liked the ability to just do what we want to do on that Thursday night. And here's the number for you to participate. You're invited to call 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. In a text message about a song that the Cardinals could use, how about Glory Days? Oh, okay, that's not too bad. Glory Days! Yeah, a little Bruce Springsteen. There was a story in KMOX.com in the St. Louis County Animal Control misled pet owners to authorizing their pets to be euthanized. That's the title of the article from a few days ago. Has anyone had any experience with the St. Louis County Animal Control, or have you actually adopted an animal from one of the centers across the city or county? What was your experience like? I mean, was it positive, or did you go in there and you wonder, like, that this doesn't look all that great, because they put out a detailed report of what was going down at the county animal control. And it's not a great report. They don't make it sound like it's the greatest run facility ever. And they have laid out some things that have been stumbling blocks and maybe some of the reasons why they have these high euthanasia numbers. But what was your experience like? I want to know what it's like, because I've never walked into one. And I'm someone that would absolutely adopt a pet before I'd go buy one. And I'm not someone that would want to go out and privately purchase animals. I would definitely go and adopt. It's what I've done. I've only had one pet in my life, and it's my dog that I currently have right now. And I'll give him belly rubs till the end. But I know at some point I'm going to outlive him, hopefully. It's not a bad thing to say, but hopefully I outlive him. and then we get to adopt another dog. We'll go through that process. But when I read these reports, I think, I don't know, do I want to adopt a dog here? I mean, there's so many other rescues that I could, you know, private rescues that help certain breeds of animals that I don't know if I'd want to go to it, because this is what the report says. It's a 268-page report, details more than substandard conditions in too few kennels. So they have, they're overloaded, animals everywhere, which is not unique to St. Louis. There's every animal shelter in the entire United States is overloaded. People want to skirt their responsibility of their animal. They don't mind just going and dropping animals off. They don't really have the commitment a lot of times when, for whatever reason. And sometimes you see really dumb reasons like, oh, you know, I got a new boyfriend and now the boyfriend doesn't like the cat, so I'm going to surrender the cat because this or that. Or, you know, it's fine. You're a human. You make stupid decisions, but you're also stupid for doing something like that, abandoning an animal. So when they all have this giant inflow to the county, I don't know what else you can ask them to do. I mean, they can't, unless it's a no-kill shelter, I don't know how you expect them to keep every animal forever. There's got to be an expiration date. And it makes me sound like I have a black heart, and I do love animals, and I think that it would be great if animals could be adopted, but you got to be realistic here. I mean, we got a lot of problems in the city. We got a lot of problems in the county. We don't have all the money in the world, and we don't have the ability to take every animal and keep them alive until they die of old age. And it's a sad thing to say, but I think one of the problems is not that these animals are being euthanized, but the conditions that lead to the euthanizing of the animals. So I looked at the report, and I skimmed through it, and it says the ACC advisory board members told CityGate that they are concerned about transparency and accuracy regarding the euthanasia numbers being reported to the advisory board. They determined that the problem was the handling and reporting. So you go through and you look at here. Animal outcomes and euthanasia, about 10% of all animals that are brought in are euthanized. About 14% are euthanized because the owner requests. So now you're up to about 24% immediately. And then about 1% dies. So you're looking at about 25%, a quarter of every animal that comes into the shelter is either most likely will be euthanized, 25%. That's a pretty high number if you think about it. About 25% are reclaimed. About 15% are taken from a rescue group. And altogether, they mention a few reasons why they think these numbers are high. Let me go through these real quick. Oh, you know what? We got to go to break. Let's do that. How about we'll come right back on Overnight America, and I want to take some of your impressions. If you've adopted an animal, let's do that next.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.